At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Gojo and Golic with Mike Golic Jr. and Mike Golic Sr. on VSiN, the sports betting network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Gojo and Golic. Mike Golic Jr., Mike Golic Sr., Claudia Belafano here at the DraftKings studio in Boston. We got super producer Brandon in the studio out here, stage momming his ass off over here right now. He looks great. We had an even better show for you guys today. As always, make sure you download, subscribe, rate, review us. Leave us a five-star rating. Check us out here live Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the DraftKings Network, as well as the best of Gojo and Golic, noon to 1 p.m. Eastern, wherever you hear VSiN on the radio. Draft week rolling along. We are so close to being done with all the takes and actually just getting to see what these teams do. But in the meantime, Claudia, what do we have coming up today?
Are you guys going to even sleep tonight? It's like Christmas Eve, right?
It is kind of like Christmas Eve.
It really is.
It is. Yeah. I can't wait. And we have all of your takes in here. Don't worry. So we were going to break these things
in the wine box.
See how many you got right in the wine box.
In the time capsule.
Well, okay.
Why can't you just play along with the bit?
I'm sorry.
It's almost over. You know, it's almost over.
Yeah.
So close.
Okay. God, coming so up close. On Gojo and Golic, where will Bo go? Bo Nix will join us ahead of the draft. South specific AFC and NFC South draft preview. And a day in the sun, McDaniels, who leads the Wolves to a game 2 win. Yep. Not who you thought it would be. We're going to talk a lot of hoops, guys, but we have to talk about what happened last night. Suns fall behind 0-2 to the Timberwolves. Pacers, Bucks tied up. Mavs, Clippers tied up. Lots of different storylines here. Of course, we have more games coming in for game 2. Anything that really stuck out to you, Senior?
First, I'm happy you had to say South specific.
Yeah, that was hard to say.
That's a tough one.
I just got that. Is it like a South Pacific play there? Is it a play off that?
That could be it. One of the smartest people known to mankind.
I was an academic All-American.
Yes, you were. Just keep hanging on that one.
As you say, our producer Slate should be very proud of this. Lord knows I am. It is between getting through that and then Claudia, I mean, burying the lead. Two series have finally started now.
Yeah.
Series doesn't start until a road team actually wins a playoff game, and so we always have to exist in this existential limbo. We made it, baby.
The first, 11 games? It was 11-0 to the home team, so 2 out of 3 last night go to the road team. So, yes, we finally have started a couple of series. Thank God.
Yeah, big time there. And so much of it, I feel like, has boiled down to star availability. And that's why it was interesting looking at the late game last night first, where the Dallas Mavericks get a win in the game that Kawhi Leonard returns in. And, Dad, this is kind of what we talked about the other day, is the difficulty of bringing back an injured star and not being sure exactly how much you're going to be able to get out of them, how much they're physically capable of at this point. And that's sort of been the looming cloud hanging over Kawhi for a while now during his Clippers tenure. But you saw it manifest last night, got going a bit in the second half, started to look more like himself. But Luka Doncic leading the defensive effort, not a typo, for the Dallas Mavericks, makes the difference in this game.
I loved after going to the last first after the game, he was asked by the whoever was interviewing, I forgot, was like, "You're not specifically known for your defense," and then went into, what made you kind of get after today. And it was just Luka basically didn't really get into it. It was just like, I just love basketball, man. It's what I wanted to do all my life. It's like there was really no answer.
Well, because he doesn't want to talk about defense.
Like, exactly
if
right.
If he's doing well on defense, Claudia, I'd have to imagine it's purely accidental in Luka's
mind. That was the issue, is he didn't deny the fact that he doesn't usually play defense. He's like, it's the playoffs. Okay, well, if you did that during the regular season, not that he doesn't have enough to do on his team.
Sure, but Luka Doncic is like a pass rush first pass specialist. If he makes a few plays in the run game, hey, that's a luxury for you. And if Luka Doncic gives you defensive effort in addition to what he's doing for you as an offensive scorer, then, Dad, that's gravy for the Dallas Mavericks. Well, you got other people who are worse at basketball for that defense stuff.
It is, but on the other side with the Clippers, you got Kawhi Leonard back. You know, it was much like when Joel Embiid came back. You're like, okay, what are we going to get? Remember, they finished the regular season eight-win run, and as he was getting his win, and Kawhi Leonard kind of felt it last night. Now, he, again, had a lower body injury. So while you can practice and get ready cardiovascularly for the games, and he was still winded, you can't get ready for the banging. Because even though you can practice full.
Well, and they said he hadn't practiced with contact.
That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
He was practicing, but he wasn't getting knocked around in practice. So you can imitate the running, but you can't imitate the contact that goes on in a game. And you're not going to do it. You're not going to say, hey, Kawhi, let's get you ready and start banging you around in practice. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So he had to get used to that. Started, as you said, heating up a little bit in the second half.
I laughed, Claudia, because I saw one moment in particular that was the most relatable thing for me and Kawhi Leonard as someone who's been nursing a back injury most of this week. I saw at one point when Kawhi did get knocked down in the game, and it took him so long within the body of that play to get back up. I was like, that is a man in his mid-30s trying to figure out how to gut his way through this.
And the issue with this team is, we sort of said heading into the playoffs, he needs to be healthy. That has been the issue with him. But it was sort of the flip side. They won without him. Then he was back in the fold. It's going to take some time for the together to figure that out with him being long.
What he was 7-17, missed all five of his threes in this one. So did play 35 minutes, so the wind will come back. Started to get better in the second half. And in all honesty, listen, they had the lead at halftime, did the Clippers. They built that to I believe it was a 6-point lead. And then Dallas went on a 14-0 run. And that was kind of while the Clippers brought it back to 3 points a couple of times, one time I think with 20 seconds ago, 93-90, they just couldn't overcome, and Dallas gets that much-needed win on the road.
So Luka Doncic, 32-9, which pretty normal offensive night for him, like ho-hum by Luka Doncic standards there. But according to ESPN Stats and Info, the Clippers, 2 of 17 from the floor when Luka Doncic was the primary defender. They missed all 11 shots that Luka Doncic contested, the second most field goal attempts contested without allowing a make in a playoff game over the last 5 years.
Wow.
Things I never anticipated reading about Luka Doncic, who, listen, helped seal the game at the end too, some big shots the way that we're used to. Feeling it. Like, it was awesome to see. You got him and Kawhi Leonard really going dueling pianos at the end, both making big shots, especially from distance, that looked like the difference in this game. And so, Dad, the Dallas Mavericks, who were another team you talk about getting hot at the end of the season, Luka's MVP case building down the home stretch of the year here, carrying over into the postseason against the Clippers team that, listen, we still all kind of don't know. It's a grab bag of what to expect from them on any given night. James Harden does appear to kind of be the constant in terms of being the guy that's the creator for them, at least being able to initiate offense. I saw Bamani Jones having the conversation the other day about, hey, Paul George's role in all this. Fascinating. A guy who's lived well as the one option on certain teams and lived well as the three option on certain teams. But in that ground in between can sometimes get a little blurry.
Yeah, and you wonder with Harden, sometimes he comes up big, but we've seen sometimes, you know, he just clanks them. Last night, one of those nights, just 2 of 10 from three-point land. As a team, they stunk. They shot, you know, under 27% from three-point land, so they weren't hitting those. You had 4 of the 5 starters for Dallas in double figures. So now, again, we always talk about the non-stars, what they can do. Can you get something from them on the road? You know you can get something from them at home, but they pull out this win and now grab home court from the Clippers, and you always wonder with the age of some of the players and certainly adding the injury to Kawhi Leonard, how longer series go and how they hang.
I mean, this is also just extraordinary. Like, you're trying to overcome so much meme inertia if you're the Clippers. You're already the Clippers, so we're a team that's used to watching you fall short of expectations. Even during your best years, during the Lob City years, like, we were always conditioned to wait for you to fail. And then postseason James Harden on top of that, as the person that's supposed to be the guy you're counting on right now in the midst of, again, you know, Paul George stood on his head back a couple playoffs ago when it was just him out there when injury kind of rendered the rest of that team off the court. But now James Harden having to be the dude, like, we're asking you to overcome forces that are much larger than basketball in this series. So anyone expecting the Clippers to win, I mean, God, you were already barking up the wrong
tree. Yeah, you were, and it's going to turn into a unicorn series because we've talked about Dallas and defense. So already, I mean, you just kind of throw everything to the wind there. I mean,
so it sounds like you guys are high on the Mavs. I want to bring in the odds then at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, the Mavs are the favorite to win this series at minus 135. Now, the fact that they're heading home, though, that number's going to get a lot more juiced if they win the next one or the next two. How many games do you see this going, Senior? And would you bet that price now at minus 135? Because that's probably the cheapest you'll get.
I mean, they did exactly what you need to do when you're the road, when you're, you know, the road team in a series and don't have home court advantage. You get one on the road. That's what they did. So series goes to their favor. We thought this was going to be a close series, and by seeding, it was going to be thought to be a close series. So, now you kind of sway toward Dallas a little bit. I think you still wonder about Harden because you see him be hot, you see him be cold. Kawhi Leonard's going to be kind of that X factor of how quickly can he get back to what he is. And because the expectation that we're going to talk about Dallas's defense more than a couple of times in this series is pretty much not going to happen.
No, not likely. So I could see this series going six. Like, I do think the Clippers, now that you've integrated Kawhi back into the lineup again, that'll get a little bit easier to figure out, all right, exactly what we think we're going to get. This is kind of like a bunch of jabs early on in most of these postseason series. So I could see this going in six, but I picked Dallas to win this one. I think at this point, that's the side that I can trust with this tandem. And I'm kind of excited for the future of them. We've talked about this before, but Luka and Kyrie now going forward with Kyrie, I believe, eligible for an extension again this summer, right? I'd have to look at
that. Sounds right. I'll check.
It feels spiritually right. But either way, excited about the future, excited about the present. I think I'm a little bit distracted because, Claudia, I'm really excited to talk about the Timberwolves right now. Not a thing I came in expecting to say.
I am too.
But the prophet that is Anthony Edwards, now watching his prophecy come to fruition last night, has become my favorite thing in sports.
Yeah, and I would usually say if you're looking into the future, it would be Anthony Edwards going off in the postseason. We've seen it before. But no, it was Jaden McDaniels, and Anthony Edwards actually predicted this would happen. Edwards just 15 points last night, Cat only 12 in 24 minutes. Jaden McDaniels, though, 25 points, 8-3, career postseason best, stepped up big on defense, one of the best defensive players on the floor. And this all resurfaced a clip from last year where Anthony Edwards said, yeah, you guys better start believing in him. He was asked, how are you guys going to stop KD? And he said, they got KD, but we have Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah.
McDaniels asked about the viral comment after the game. Here's what he had to say.
Can't know what he's talking about, so just, yeah, we all love to compete, so it's just something for me just to kind of have a chip on my shoulder knowing.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
South and some of the biggest needs ahead of tomorrow's NFL draft. And speaking of the NFC South, the Falcons and Eagles, well, the Falcons, also the Eagles, were being looked into for offseason tampering allegations. However, not concluded, but it looks like if it's going to affect the draft, it'll be next year, not this year. So the Falcons should remain with their number 8 pick overall. UCLA's Leah Tulatu is the favorite to go to them at plus 150. And then Bama's Dallas Turner at plus 175. Decent drop off to the rest of the group. So guys, as you look at those odds and look at some other speculations, Schefter says maybe Michael Penix Jr. will drop to them. What makes the most sense? What do you think is the best?
Not that.
Said it.
Everyone's just throwing out their fastball for these last couple of days now.
You know what? You could throw out anything. Anything. See our social media at some point. We'll do that. Throw out anything
out there. We're hearing a lot.
We're hearing, boy, we're hearing. We're all hearing stuff.
Our sources are telling us some pretty crazy stuff.
Crazy things happen, though.
I can't even begin to tell you some of the rumors that we're hearing.
But, Dad, I will say this is also the time. It was draft week a few years ago where all of a sudden, late in that week, Baker Mayfield shoots up to the number one overall pick in the draft. Like, the reason we believe some of this stuff, or at least have to take pause, is because in the past, we've seen it actually come to fruition. Now, with Atlanta, it's interesting as you look at the NFC South. Obviously, Kirk Cousins made this conversation very different for them heading into the draft this year. They get to start off with a guy coming off of an Achilles injury. There's certainly questions about that, but a defense that was vastly improved last year, a new regime coming over here with a defensive-minded head coach in Raheem Morris, and the 8th overall pick in a draft that's really interesting defensively, because Claudia mentioned the two guys at the top of the odds there, and Leah Tulatu and Dallas Turner, completely different players, right?
Yeah.
Leah Tulatu, we're talking about this, the most, I think, complete pro-ready of these edge rushers in this class in terms of what he offers you in pass rushing prowess. And Dallas Turner, a lot more in line with what we've seen this Atlanta franchise pick in recent memory, which is incredibly toolsy player with upside. Reminds me a lot of the guys that they've tended to major in. So part of me wants to say, hey, maybe you go for something that's a little bit more fully formed in Latu that you can get on the field right now who, yeah, all these guys have some flaws defending the run, but Latu, at the very least, comes in as a fully formed NFL pass rusher.
He does, and a lot of people, you know, you wonder sometimes when you say a more ready pro. Like, when I look at that as far as, like, say, interior D linemen, those are guys that use their hands better. Because I think that's one of the biggest transitions a D lineman, especially interior, has to make to the NFL is how well you use your hands. For the outside, for these edge rushers, you know, how well can you hold up against a run? Certainly is something that can help make you a complete player. But, Mike, a lot of times these edge rushers are so good that they rarely have to go into their counters. So, to me, a more ready guy is a guy that has some counter moves, because I don't care how great you were in college, especially if you had one great move, whether it was turning the corner on a low dip or a rip or coming underneath on a spin, whatever it was, you are going to have to expand your toolbox on your counters, because you are not going to get away with one move in the NFL coming from college. So that's one of the bigger things, I think, as well. Guys that are ready and already have some counters in their toolbox.
I'd probably, at this point, like, you're fine with both. I'd probably take Latu at this point. I understand the injury history is a bit of a concern.
Yeah.
Dallas Turner, the way he moves is so incredibly enticing. Like, I remember again,
I agree.
He was the forbidden fruit on the other side of Will Anderson Jr. last year, where you'd see one player who was ruthlessly efficient and the other who just did these things naturally that few people on earth can do. But I think that's going to be the route that they probably go there. That defense made huge strides and improvements last year.
I agree.
While the offense fluttered with Desmond Ridder, a chance to be more complete, provided Kirk Cousins comes back and is normal Kirk Cousins. Dad, let's look at the New Orleans Saints. I saw yesterday, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah, that said, find me a team that has a need more pressing than the Saints and offensive tackle in this draft. And they missed on Trevor Penning in the draft a few years ago out of, I believe, Northern Iowa. You've got Ryan Ramczyk, who's, you know, been getting up there now. And so I think there's a premium here. 14, you're still going to be within range of some really good guys, I think.
You are, and it's a shame for old linemen at times because people who watch the draft sometimes see an old lineman, they're like, oh, it's kind of that unsexy pick, right? But it's really not. I mean, it's a cornerstone.
It's incredibly sexy.
It's an well, don't get carried away.
Hot.
It's an absolute cornerstone for an offensive line, protection, run blocking, and what you need to get somebody locked up on that line. So while I think it's deemed that way outside of quarterbacks and wide receivers, this is such a deep offensive line, especially offensive tackle draft, that you're going to get. And you were talking about grass and the such before the show, and it seemed like the best hit rate for first round picks at a position to sign second contracts with their team was offensive tackle. So that's the stability of that position.
So Sam Hoppen, who does a great job, data scientist, works over at Fantasy Pros now. Adam Schefter put out this chart that our buddy Paul Hemmachides put out about the hit rate of players in positions picked in the first round over the last 20 years. So from 2000 to 2019, Sam went a step further and broke it down based on guys who signed second contracts, multi-year extensions with the team that drafted them. And since 2000, between 2000 and 2019, so in that two-decade span, no position signed multi-year deals with the team that drafted them at a higher rate than offensive tackle. It tends to be blue-chip stock that you buy at that position. And so as we look at that, we talked with Duke Manyweather yesterday about a guy he's training in Olu Fashanu out of Penn State. Would be a home run there. Talisi Fuaga. But I think those guys could be off the board by then. J.C. Latham has had a big offseason. The offensive tackle out of Alabama. An absolute monster. I mean, we talk about bubble butts when it comes to offensive line in the draft.
Yeah.
This dude's got a lower body that makes GMs and scouts salivate. I think he could be a great pickup there for them at 14. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers down at 26, Dad. This is a really interesting team. Brought back Baker Mayfield. This offense could look a little bit different since their offensive coordinator got hired by the Carolina Panthers. But the people looking and mocked there, a lot of offensive line, edge rusher there, which could be Chop Robinson range out of Penn State.
Right, because that's
an interesting prospect.
They lost Shaq Barrett on the defensive side. And Latu, again, if he's going to be there. And you mentioned him before. We should say the injury issue. This is a guy that retired from football.
Yeah,
he retired from football with a neck injury and then came back. So, yeah, you could see where people may have a concern there. But I love watching that.
I do, too. I think down there you look to some of the recent draft picks missing on edge rusher there. That defense in general going through going to be a little bit of an overhaul there. But I don't know. I could see Chop Robinson probably coming off the board there because, again, I don't see Latu being there. It's going to depend on who else that edge class pushes down potentially there. What happens with Jared Verse, the prospect out of Florida State?
He's the guy, remember, you know, is he a guy that could be, someone's going to drop. Is he a guy that could be a dropping edge rusher? We'll wait and see. It always happens, so we'll find out on Thursday there. But I do think they end up going edge rusher.
Yeah, this is really, again, these are the defending division champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers who surprised everybody with the roster last year. So where they choose to add interior offensive line in a group that's been re-raking itself since the Super Bowl also could be on the board. And then there's the Panthers, who don't own a first-round pick this year, traded theirs to the Chicago Bears last year in the trade to go up and get Bryce Young. And this offseason, they've been busy, Dad. They went out here and said, all right, we've got a small quarterback who struggled mightily last year. We went and spent a ton of money on offensive line to bring in Damian Lewis and Robert Hunt to try and protect him there. On the other side, you lost edge rusher big time in Brian Burns, Frankie Louvu, your linebacker also gone. So that could be a route to go. But, Dad, we know the charge for the Panthers this year is get weapons around Bryce Young, revitalize Bryce Young. And so you'd imagine wide receiver going to be the flavor of the day for them at the top of the second
round. This, to me, is a no-brainer. We talked about the depth of the offensive tackle. Wide receiver position is the deepest, I think, in this draft, right? So you're going to be able to get some quality at that point. And you have to understand last year, I think he's 32 or 33, Adam Thielen led the team in receptions with 103. The next closest was Jonathan Mingo, the wide receiver, with 43.
Yeah.
I mean, so that is absolutely the route they have to
And go. I think here, the thing that was, even with Adam Thielen, is they didn't have anyone that could get open. You looked around and stopped the tape for Bryce Young. You're looking at a tight window throws everywhere. You need a professional route runner, and my God in heaven, Ladd 2D McConkey has been remixing dudes in the SEC for years now.
Joe Alt, destined for the Titans. It seems like with these thousands of mock drafts that we've had, two names and two teams have been tied together the most. Caleb Williams, number one overall to the Bears, of course, but also Joe Alt and the Titans. We've seen it a lot at pick seven and taking a look at the odds at the DraftKings Sportsbook. To go pick seven is minus 155. Titans to draft an lineman, minus 330. Him to go in the top 10 is crazy juiced odds, which I don't suggest playing because it probably will happen, but not a great payout. Joe Alt will join us on the show tomorrow to tell us about what he anticipates. But taking a look at him in particular, the rest of the AFC South, and just what the Titans will do in this draft in particular, how do you like their chances for improving this season?
It is interesting, Dad. For a while, I felt like this was a little less certain because so many of us looked at the Chargers at five and wondered, and I get it. Wide receiver, the cupboard is barren there. They've got Quentin Johnston, their former number one wide receiver pick from the other year, but doesn't seem like that took hold the way they wanted. New regime out there. I still do wonder, given Jim Harbaugh's background, if that's more in play there than we're giving it credit for. But if not, you've got Joe Alt, who can come in here and pretty seamlessly slot in to be the left tackle of the future for the Titans.
Plus, everybody has a Chargers trading out of five, too. Just about every mock draft has them dumping out of there. If they stay at five, Alt could go there. I because of Jim Harbaugh, I could see them wanting to take one of the wide receivers, though, because, I mean, we're talking those top three, wherever you rank them. I think all three are going to have a great impact in the NFL, and they need receivers. So, to me, if the Chargers stayed at five, I would have thought they would lean toward receiver. If not, I think it's going to be Alt, but everybody in the world has them trading out of them.
Joe has been the consensus number one tackle for a while now in a tackle class that is rich and decadent. What I will say is it's the perfect marriage in Tennessee where you've got Bill Callahan, there's the offensive line coach who comes over with his son Brian who takes the head coaching job there. One of the kingmakers around the NFL, I think he was Zach Martin's first offensive line coach when he got to Dallas. I need to double check this quickly. He was the Dallas, 2012 to 2014. So helped launch that career. And for Joe, already been the beneficiary of great coaching. We mentioned Harry Hiestand was his first offensive line coach at Notre Dame, my former coach, for my money, the best offensive line coach in college football in the last two decades.
Yep.
Joe Rudolph coming over from Wisconsin, helping this last year. And now if you get him here, Joe, we talked to Duke Manyweather about this. The perfect blend of ready to come in play now, but still so much ability that you can continue to tap into and hone, and the perfect offensive line coach to help do it at a place that's trying to turn the page after Taylor Lewan and that offensive line that for so long had been the face there under Mike Vrabel now goes by the wayside.
Yeah, and obviously with Spears and Pollard, you're going to have a kind of that two-back system. You started getting that a little bit some last year.
Will Levis, your quarterback,
with this? Young quarterback, so you'd like to get a running game going. You pick up a center in free agency, so you stack that offensive
Skoronski,
line.
Your offensive line pick from last year, who's one of the bright spots in that group.
Cushion Berry's a guy you picked up in the offseason. So, yeah, I think this is the move to go solidify that line in front of your young quarterback, help your running game out as well. So, if five is going to be the key spot to see if Alt goes to Tennessee, do the Chargers actually make a pick there? And if they do, would it be Alt or would it be a wide receiver?
Yeah, no. So I think we're all pretty secure. This one in a draft that's starting to feel like it's got some certainties up top, certainly Caleb Williams at number one. We'll see Jaden Daniels, the betting markets reflect, a quarterback who seems pretty locked into that two spot with Washington. Even if he's maybe not super high on that from what we're hearing. But the Tennessee Titans and Joe Alt seems like a real happy marriage getting ready. The Colts at 15. It seems obvious, like corner, overwhelming need for this team that defensively up front, the front seven the last couple of years has been pretty stout. Offensively, though, Dad, you still wonder, hey, they've drafted some of the wide receiver room there. They kept Michael Pittman around there as well at wide receiver. But You got a young quarterback in Anthony Richardson who's coming off an injury in Shane Steichen's system. I do wonder, hey, while that's built off the quarterback run, we saw it with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia the year they went to the Super Bowl, if maybe trying to add another weapon around him to make sure we don't have to use that element of him as much in this offense coming off injury as a premium.
We'll see if the top two cornerbacks, Mitchell or Arnold, are around at that point. If they are, yep. I could see that route. But if not, Mike, you know, we talked about the Jets and possibly Brock Bowers at tight end.
Sure.
If he doesn't go there and Brock drops, I almost wouldn't see him going by the Colts at 15. Last year, the Colts had four tight ends combined for 70 receptions and six touchdowns. The top tight end had just 30 receptions. So I could see them going for Bowers, going for that great weapon for Anthony Richardson. You want to take care of that quarterback. So that to me is going to be, if you're a Colt fan, do the Jets go Brock Bowers at 10? If not, it's possible he could fall to 15. And I don't know if I see him getting by the Colts if he does.
No, certainly. And you look at, so Michael Pittman Jr., we mentioned, re-signed there. Alec Pierce, the draft pick out of Cincinnati, who still waiting to kind of see the best of there. Josh Downs, their pick in the third round last year out of North Carolina. And so I think, again, if corner's there, I think you're going corner because that's a pretty overwhelming need for that team. But Bowers is going to be interesting for a lot of teams that are looking for that added element that he can bring to an offense here. Jacksonville, not far behind them at 17, Dad, for a team that acquired a fair amount this offseason.
They did.
Defensively, offensively as well. You lose a bit at receiver, but you also bring Gabe Davis down there, Mac Jones down there to back up a guy that he was in the same draft class with in Trevor Lawrence. What do you like for Jaguars, Dad?
So you see they're just two picks past the Colts. So, and that will be interesting, as we mentioned. What if there's a cornerback available? Which one? And do the Colts take that cornerback? Or if Bowers is there, do they take Brock Bowers? And will a cornerback, one of the top corner? I can't see one of those two cornerbacks still being there at 17. If they are, I mean, this is the team that had, what, just 16 interceptions. They're a lower part of the league as far as pass defense was concerned. So I think they would hope that maybe one of those cornerbacks is there, but I don't know if one of them is going to be there. So it'll be interesting if one is available and Brock is available at 15. What do the Colts do? Obviously, Jacksonville, keep an eye on that and see if one could fall to them.
So Jacksonville's defense is interesting. You re-signed Josh Allen, the other defensive Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Trevon Walker started to look more the part towards right. The back half of last season, some of that pass rushing ability coming online there. And so pairing that defensive backfield with a little more and solidifying that works. But, man, on offense, like, yeah, you know, Christian Kirk, some of that wide receiver room going to get healthy. You lost Calvin Ridley. Gabe Davis is not a direct replacement of that. He's a guy that struggled to be the number two in Buffalo. And I still think, hey, man, we're trying to make sure Trevor Lawrence doesn't add his name to the laundry list of guys from that 2021 class who are all of a sudden on the outs wherever they're at. This feels like a make-or-break season there. And so some mock drafts, like, I don't know, Brian Thomas is going to be really interesting, the other wide receiver out of LSU in this draft class.
Yeah.
Big guy that can fly. If a guy like him leaks down here, could absolutely see them going wide receiver to try and say, hey, let's continue to make this offense a strength and give our quarterback more steady options for the Jacksonville Jags at 17. America's team for our buddy Emerson Latzia. The Houston Texans, Dad, no first-round pick. They mortgaged so much of their future to go get franchise cornerstones last year, and it worked out.
Yeah.
And C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson Jr., both respective award winners on their sides of the ball for various things. They pick 42nd overall in the second round here, Dad. Now, what do you see as the biggest need for this team coming off last
year? Well, I mean, they lost Grenard, their edge rusher, but they got Danielle Hunter.
Sure.
Right? Their running game wasn't great last year. They pick up Joe Mixon, so they've taken care of a couple of areas there. So do you concentrate on the defensive side? Still, that's going to be an issue. You like the receivers that they have. In Collins and Tank Dell. Obviously, the quarterback, you've helped the running game go along there. So I think they're going to lean to the defensive side of the ball in the 42nd pick. So nowhere near the first round here.
Sure.
So I think that's the side they go. And cornerback is a very, very deep position, so you can get a quality one there.
Some of the mocks we've seen here, Mike Samer still real versatile defensive back out of Michigan. And then D lineman Chris Jenkins out of Michigan too, who could be more the range where we start to see some of these D linemen come off the board. And while they brought DeNico Autry older, I thought Sheldon Rankins, who they lost this offseason, one of the more impactful players on that defense last year. Yeah. We focused so much on the Eds guys. There were games where Sheldon Rankins was unblockable on the inside, and his presence made those guys. And so maybe adding something a little bit more stout up there, especially from the run defense portion of things.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
NFL draft just so close we can taste it. The Raiders trying to make some moves before that, though. According to NFL Network's Mike Garafolo, the Raiders reached out to the Commanders trying to move out of pick 13 up to pick 2, despite Washington's GM Adam Peters saying we're not doing that. They still went for it anyways. Ian Rappaport also confirming that the Commanders have shown no signs of budging. The Patriots, on the other hand, sounded a lot more likely that they may move away from that number three pick.
Signs of budging.
Signs of budging. They're showing the signs of budging, unfortunately.
And now, they're putting you through it right now. I can see you wearing the stress of that. Are you going to be okay, Claudia?
I'm saying that. Back? But at the same time, it's such a good problem to have because it's like, okay, hey, if we don't get our quarterback, at least we are rebuilding. We're doing the thing that
What an optimistic last half full look at that.
Yeah, well, the other issue, too, is, I mean, we talk about bust. Not just quarterback bust. There's bust for other positions, too. So, yeah, maybe we're getting more options than just one, but it still works.
Here's what I don't understand. First, I don't see Washington trading out of that second spot at all.
Sure. I mean, Jaden Daniels, it sounds like a Dinah Rossini, our good friend this morning, doing a great job over at The Athletic, put out some buzz that she's hearing around the league right now. It said Jaden Daniels was given a high grade by many teams. While the quarterback is cool, in quotes, with Washington, I'm told his, quote, dream world, he would reunite with Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce, who was an assistant at ASU when he was there as a Sun Devil, or play under Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota.
Listen, that would mean a quarterback would try and manipulate a la John Elway, a la Eli Manning. I don't see that at all. You could sit there and say you want to play for whoever you want. And at the end of the day, 99.9% of the players go where they're drafted and they're going to play. I don't see that happening at all. Here's a question I have for you New England fans and Mike as well. We keep talking about
and Mike
the third pick and, you know, it won't be good for a new quarterback or Frank to go to New England. They're not ready for it. The whole idea in the NFL is to find a quarterback.
Yes.
If you're New England at the third slot and you have, it's a new regime, and you have a grade on a quarterback that would be the third quarterback that's a franchise quarterback, you take him.
Well, yeah, but
you
take him. The whole conversation we've had this offseason is about how, hey, the landing spot matters a lot more development and success than we've ever had before. There just aren't a lot of quarterbacks that are able to bootstrap franchises into relevancy on their own without the surrounding infrastructure.
But you have to – did Houston have the infrastructure
yes,
last
better
year?
Than
they have much better than Patriots.
Yes.
My thing, though,
they
is
– They did?
They were a franchise with much more to offer.
So
than
at
we
what
found
point do you
Patriots.
Say we have a grade on a franchise quarterback, we pick number three, but you know what? We don't have the infrastructure, so we're not taking them. We're going to wait. That's ridiculous.
Oh, I agree. That's why I think
it's
they should –
It's ridiculous.
That's
if
why
you
I
have a franchise grade on a guy, you take him.
Dad, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying you're ignoring a lot of recent history and saying that'll work out well. I get it. We've got all the numbers to back up that between the savings you get, the hit rate on quarterbacks,
right.
The savings that you get at that position, it is worthwhile to take that swing. I'm just saying, if you were asking me right now, the way that we're looking at that 2021 draft class we keep talking about,
right.
Where all these quarterbacks flamed out.
Including Mac Jones.
Yeah, including Mac Jones. If you're asking me to, hey, go through this draft class, and after this one, if the Patriots pick a quarterback, say, Mike, pick the team that you think most likely is going to be without that quarterback in 3 years, I would immediately point to the New England
but
Patriots.
But that doesn't mean they shouldn't take one.
There's also a world.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's a high likelihood of failure given the surrounding environment.
I get it because it's a 50% hit rate, but in the fact that you don't take as much of a money hit now that you have a rookie wage scale, it's not as bad as it was. I get everybody saying, well, he's going to fail there, he's going to fail there. They have to take one. If
they have
a franchise grade for one of the third quarterback, because two are going to
obviously, if they love the guy, but in a world where we've talked about these prospects outside of Caleb Williams as, maybe a little bit closer together or maybe less of a sure thing. We found warts on all these guys. If it's outside of, we're not talking about a bunch of Andrew Luck prospects Dad.
I'm getting the vibe that even if it's a franchise quarterback, they have such a horrible infrastructure, they need to trade down and move on. That's garbage. That's ridiculous.
I think the issue, too, with a lot of people is they keep comparing it to Mac Jones. Like, Mac Jones fell to us, and we brought him in, and we didn't have the right pieces around him, but I also don't think he's as good as Drake May is. So the ceiling's higher with Drake May. Also, they brought in Brissett to be that veteran presence. If you don't want to throw him out there and destroy him, which happened to Mac Jones, then that's fine. Let him sit. But I agree with you. I don't think waiting to find somebody next year or in free agency is going to work out for this team. And that comes from a fan who, you know, I understand both sides, but I think the quarterback makes the most.
I just think this is one of those cases, and I'd be curious for Patriots fans, where for so much of this offseason, you have been sold, hey, new regime.
Yes.
We're not going to do things the way Correct. That we used to. I think it was Mike Silver yesterday that said, like, good for the Crafts for taking back their franchise. From what? The winningest two decades in the history of modern pro sports?
Bad couple of years. Yeah,
maybe we need to simmer down a little bit on that, but I think Patriots fans have now had this expectation, we're going to take a quarterback. Our franchise isn't just going to be trading back anymore, where if we had been sold that earlier in the offseason, I think a lot of us would be sitting here fine saying, hey, the Patriots have a lot of needs. If they want to trade back a little bit, maybe they take one of these other quarterbacks that we're talking about, Penix or Bo Nix, later in the first round or early in the second round the picks that they amass in that. You could sell that under the guise of also, hey, we'll get some studs at other positions and we'll start to rebuild the foundation of this roster. I just think it's an expectation. Claudia, the reaction I saw from you was a fan base that has been told, hey, we're different now. And quarterback's fun to sell the fans. We can all get excited about quarterbacks because we think all of them are going to be Joe Burrow and CJ Stroud. That's not how it works.
They want to quench that thirst for good quarterback play, which we have not had since Tom Brady. But I agree, it's a deep quarterback class, so I wouldn't be mad as long as we
think we're on the same page, Mike. If when the third pick comes up, if their grade for, let's say, Drake May, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, for Drake May, or if they think it's J.J. McCarthy. I have no idea. It's all what they think, not what we think. If they think that grade of that pick is a franchise quarterback and they don't have Bo Nix in that category and they don't have Michael Penix Jr. in that category or J.J. McCarthy in that category, but they have Drake May, they have to take him, correct?
Well, if they think he's Andrew Luck,
not Andrew Luck. Their grade says
it's their grade. I'm saying the way I look at these quarterbacks does not reflect that. So I can only think of that so much.
That's
in that
all
way.
I just want to make sure, because I'm hearing way too much that no matter what, They need to trade out of that thing, which is crazy.
I don't think the idea is no matter what. I think the idea is factoring in that we don't think these other quarterbacks are as sure things as everybody else that we've talked about.
I don't think any of these quarterbacks are sure things this year. I don't think not one. Well, you keep bringing up Andrew Luck. There ain't one quarterback in this draft that comes in like Andrew
There's
Luck.
Absolutely not.
But not at all.
But I'm saying Caleb Williams is at least thought about as the most secure in this class.
Right.
Because, you know, every step of the way when we've talked about, oh, Caleb Williams, he wants ownership stake, or he's this Gen Z quarterback, he's different paints. You know what it has done to his draft stock? Not a damn
Nothing.
Thing. We have
Nothing.
Not had any of these conversations about flirt with other quarterbacks at that number one spot in a way that I thought we might with Drake May and him.
I just think it's been too easy to say, oh, the New England's not ready for a great quarterback. They have too many holes, so get out of that spot, which is ridiculous. If you think he's the man, you take him.
It's just, it's so interesting how we've all talked this up a lot more.
Yes.
In the last few months compared to what this was at the start of draft season here. So I do think, I don't know, ultimately I don't think we're going to end up seeing any movement out of the top three. Like, I think at this point,
I agree with
the simplest solution is, like, we kind of, I think, know how this is going to go, which makes it really unsexy for the TV product of draft night, where it's probably going to be Caleb Williams number one off the board. Even if I disagree with it, it seems like Washington's going to take Jaden Daniels at number two. The Patriots are probably going to take Drake May at number three, which I would actually advise if he's sitting there on the board.
And they have that grade for him, right?
They do. And
because the next quarterback,
you
need
grade. You love talking about the grade.
But that's the key.
I understand it's the key, but you just, it's like, it's, you love it.
I know I love it because it's the only thing to me that matters of what your thought is, what a team's thought is of a player. Is it franchise quarterback capable? Because the other thing is the next quarterback needy teams are like Minnesota and Denver. So if somebody does want to trade up, you're going to get a haul.
Well, yeah,
if you're
and
one of them.
And that's what we all think four is. Like, I do think with the Arizona Cardinals at four, you're going to get Minnesota probably trading up to take J.J. McCarthy there because they're scared of the world without a quarterback, considering the way the rest of that team is structured.
Did you want a high draft grade when you were getting looked at in the draft?
Yeah, it would have been nice.
Okay.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.